Welcome back. We've got Denny Daly, the Brisbane Lions GM of football, coming on shortly. He can tell us a bit more about Logan Morris and his debut there post his Macca's drive-through experience about 2 hours before the game. Lons, you've got a mention.
The Women's State of Origin, New South Wales Women's State of Origin team gets announced tomorrow at 12 o'clock at the Star. So a lot of competition for spots. So looking forward to seeing the first game of that Origin series.
Thursday week
up in Queensland.
Wow.
Part of the... Well, it's a start of Magic Round.
Yeah. So you got that Thursday night.
So the girls play Thursday night, then into the Dogs Raiders on the Friday night. But a lot of competitions for spots. New South Wales trying to win back that crown. And it's good to see them having three games too, because last year it was one all.
Mm.
And Queensland, because they retained it, or was on four against?
Yeah, I think it was on aggregate four and against.
So at least... they get three games to prove who the champion should be.
Gosh, you're, 10 days out from your 30-year Raiders Premiership 1994 reunion?
Excited. I don't even want to think about that yet.
You're not prepared yet?
Not yet.
You excited?
I am, very much so. But when I get too excited, you go harder. That's the problem.
See, because, you know, you obviously had a big Queensland contingent in that Raiders side. They'd be delighted, the Queenslanders, the fact that it's going to be in their home backyard.
Game. Yeah, they'll be able to show us the spots. I wonder if the spots we visited 30 years ago are still around.
Highly doubt it. The spots.
You used to, what was the joint? City Rowers, is that still around?
Yeah.
City Rowers?
I don't know.
No. They're actually doing Canterbury Leagues are doing a... So I spoke to my mum the other day, and I said, well, did you ever go to...
Didn't they have the great Chinese at Canterbury Leagues?
Yeah, but there was a nightclub.
Oh, right.
And they're doing a reunion.
For the nightclub?
And I said...
How do you do a reunion for a nightclub?
Like, as in, they're having a night there, but that's what it's called.
Oh, right.
So it's like lasers, or I don't
know. So, like, is it an auditorium?
Yes, just a big...
Just a big, like an old school disco.
An old school disco.
Will the same things go on that went on there 30-odd years ago?
Well, I hope not, Mum. That's what I said. So I said, I'd love... You know what? I'll go. You go. We won't go together, but I want you to act how you used to act.
Yeah.
I want to see the real...
Show me the blokes you were dancing with on that night. See whether they've aged.
Roberto Reynolds would be happy, mate.
Well, the Brisbane Lions eked out a 34-point victory, much-needed victory, in the Q clash against the Gold Coast Suns on Sunday evening. Gee, they suffered some adversity as well. Oh, they've got a lot of injuries going forward. They do have, at least on paper, a reasonably friendly draw, though, for the next 5 weeks or so. And joining us is the Lions GM of football, Denny Daly. Denny, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, boys. I was just listening to you, Blake, and isn't it funny? We don't want our kids doing anything that we did.
What's it called? The Rowers?
Is City Rowers still in Brisbane? You probably don't know, Denny. I don't know. But
I'm from Melbourne, so...
Right. It used to be a haunt about 30-odd years ago. I'm assuming it's not there anymore.
I bet it's haunted as well. Now, you've seen it all in football, Denny, and have you heard of a player making his AFL debut? You might have seen it in lower grades, but in his AFL debut, barely 2 hours after being in the Macca's drive-thru, as Logan Morris did on the weekend.
Nah, never ever, but I've got to say, if you want to have one bloke who has had to go through what he did, it's probably him, because nothing fazes him too much. If it was one of the other young boys we had, I'm not sure they would have been able to handle it too much, but it was a good story, great story for him.
It was an important win for you, Denny, and hopefully the Lions are back on track, but you picked up a few injuries. What's the latest update with those players? Are they gone for the year?
We pretty much think so. Both Link and Dizzy are having MRIs or scans this morning as we speak. So, but, you know, our doctors and medical staff, who are generally on the money, pretty confident that they've both done their ACLs, so that'll be a year ending for both of them. So disappointing for those two guys, but with adversity comes opportunity, so that's the way we'll be looking at it.
3 wins, 5 losses. You have had a very difficult draw, but considering you obviously grand finalists last year, how have you assessed the first 2 months of the season?
Yeah, it's ideally not where we want to be, and we'd be lying if we said we thought we were going to be 3-5. But you know, we probably can't sit here and make excuses about draws and injuries, etc. We've played some good footy in periods, but we haven't been consistent over the four quarters, probably apart from the weekend and the Melbourne game. So we've been working a hell of a lot on our style of play, our offense, and trying to get some good ball movement in our front half, which has let us down a bit. So it's a work in progress, but we took some steps forward on Sunday night, and we feel like that we're on the right track to hopefully get in a few wins in a row.
Danny, you come up against the Crows this week, and they've been playing some great footy of late. Who do you feel you need to minimise on the weekend in order to have a chance to win that game?
I think they're a team that have got their backup ball movement up and about again. That was their real weapon last year, being able to score from their back half transition. And, you know, for the first four or five games of this year, they weren't able to do that. But in the last 3 weeks, they've been pretty potent in that area and scoring quite heavily. So we need to be able to stop them from doing that whilst maintaining our own offensive and stoppage weapons. So it'll be a fair bit about us and continuing to concentrate on us, but we need to take away their ball movement from the back half, no doubt.
Yeah, Danny, just looking at your draw here, after a slow start to the year, your next 6 weeks is going to be make or break, but gee, they're all winnable games. You've got the Crows, I know they're away, but you know, Tigers, Hawks, Dogs, Saints, Port, like, you can get yourself going again if you can get on a run.
Oh, absolutely. It's a good opportunity for us over the next five weeks, and you know, I've got to be careful because every game's hard, as we know. Yeah. And there's no such thing as an easy game, but I think the momentum of wins in footy is a massive thing, and probably the same in the NRL. If you can get on a roll of two wins or three wins, it just builds confidence and a lot of belief, and that's what we've been able to do in the last few years, but just haven't been able to do that this year yet. So we feel like it's a great opportunity for us over the next 5 weeks, as you spoke about, to get going and start getting the W's against our name and build a lot of belief for us, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, Danny, you just spoke about belief, and obviously last year playing in the grand final would have been a massive high. Do you think there's still a belief in the team that, you know, if you do get on a bit of a roll, you can match it with the likes of, you know, GWS and the Swans?
I think so. I thought we were sort of on the right track after we beat North Melbourne, then had that great performance against Melbourne. We felt like that was the start for us, but unfortunately, the Geelong game was, you know, the weather didn't really help us too much, and that's not an excuse. It just, you know, probably played in Geelong's hands a bit. So, yeah, we feel like we've still got the belief. Obviously, the injuries have hurt us and brought a bit of self-doubt amongst probably some of the players, but within the group, where everyone's up and about, and, yeah, we feel like we just need to get maybe three wins in a row and continue to get going, yeah.
Yeah. And Danny, through this period, has it just been like a reoccurring theme? Something's just unfolded in a game that's let you down? Or is it sort of 1 week you fix up an area of a game that's that you needed to address, you get that right, and then something else happens the following week?
There's a little bit of that. I think the main thing has been our forward 50 game. We our shots on goal and our accuracy hasn't been great. We're AFL 18, and even to get on the weekend in the third quarter, we kicked 9 points straight. So in AFL footy, you've got to punish the opposition, and by that, you've got to kick goals. And if you keep kicking points, you give the opposition a chance to rebound and score. So amongst a few other things, that's been predominantly the main one. Yeah. As I said, we're AFL 18 in our goal kicking accuracy, and we've just got to get that right. And we're doing a lot of work on it. And hopefully it clicks for us at some point, but that's been the main one for us.
And that was the first Q clash as well with Damien Hardwick coaching the Suns. I guess that was quite satisfying for the club. And I think that was the biggest crowd ever at a Q clash, wasn't it, as well, Denny's?
Yeah, it was, 30,000. Our team upstairs in the admin department put a lot of work into the game over a six-week period trying to get as many ticket sales as we can. So it was a fantastic crowd, and they were up and about and got our team going. And yeah, it's always nice to win the Q clash. You know, Gold Coast didn't play to their best. Let's be fair about that. But they're always nice to win. They got us last year in the back half. And I tried to have a quick chat with Dimmer after the game, but he gave me nothing. I think he was a bit grumpy. So I might have to try and touch base with him this week to make sure he's okay. But, yeah, they're always nice to win those games.
Well, mate, really appreciate your time this morning. Loz, what have you got for us?
City Rowers is not there either, Denny. It's now called Jade Buddha. Do you know where Jade Buddha is?
Buddha.
No, that's Eagle Street Pier. It's all been knocked down.
It's all been
There's
knocked down.
New but that's what it said, isn't it?
Yeah. Eagle Street Pier.
there. I've got a funny feeling some of my players might venture down there, so yeah. I hope it's not.
Don't let them hang around Loz, mate.
I spot down there anyway.
Denny, thanks so much for your time, mate, and hope it all goes well against the Crows this week and certainly for the rest of the season for you.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having me on and have a great day.
Good on you, mate.
Denny Daly, the GM of football there at the Brisbane Lions. They're outsiders. It is a very tight market. It's the 4 o'clock game on Sunday afternoon. Adelaide at home are $1.70. Brisbane, $2.15 plus 4.5.
They're all winnable games for the
Lions.
They
are. You mentioned that next 5-6 weeks. Yeah. They've got to win
five. You got to win
out
five.
Of the six.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They can't afford to be dropping some of those games, but if they do, they've still got quality.
Yeah.
The other issue is too, they have had some injuries, and you need good depth, and you know, got to have that quality. But when you lose some good players, it hurts you. Eventually, it takes its toll.
T's coming, Loz. Collingwood are coming back, I reckon. After a slow start to the season. I know you could say they drew with Essendon, but that's Anzac Day and won by a kick against Carlton. But they've won now 4 of the last 5, and a draw was the game that they didn't win in that last 5.
Well, you know that they can win 12 straight or 6 straight or 7 straight. And any competition, whether it's the AFL or NRL, if you win 5 or 6 straight, you'll put yourself in a position to play finals, regardless of when you do it.
I just asked, but do you think Brisbane are a threat if they get, you know, if they win these 5 games, can they match it with a Collingwood or a Sydney Swans on their day?
They can, but the problem is all those injuries.
Injuries might come back to bite them.
Yeah, yeah.
But momentum, you know what it's like.
Yeah,
mate, when you lose, you find ways to lose. If you just jag a win somehow. Sometimes they're the best ones to get when you just jag it, when you'd never ever, you weren't playing your best and you just get over the line. Then the next week you build on it and then you get a bit of belief. And I don't know. I don't know where confidence goes or where it comes from. I really don't, like in a footy team. And when you got it, you just got to ride that momentum because it's a wonderful thing to have. You just go into every game thinking that you'll win and then you have that belief no matter what situation the game is in, you win.
Yeah.
And everyone has it, not just one or two people. It's the whole group.
You feel it.
Yeah.
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 Like you're right. You don't lose.
Yeah.
Like there's you watch the video and go, "Oh, how did we win that?" But you just do. You win it on little moments, and you might the game might seesaw for ages, but you just win those little moments and then but you're right, the other way. You go the other way with losing as well.
You just find a way to lose. And you sit there and go, like, you might be up, 8 points, 2 minutes to go. And you know you can close the game down, and 9 times out of 10 you would. But when you play with no confidence and no self-belief, you can lose that game, and you're sitting there going, how did that happen?
Okay, this story here, where was it, Loz? North Lake call-up. North Sydney Bears, under 21s, early 90s, rested for a head knock. So, went for a big night, finishing at the cross at 4 a.m. Rocked up to the game. 3 players injured in the warm-up. What were they doing in the warm-up? Coach says, you're playing. First tackle, got smashed. Brought up everything, including red wine. Trainer thought it was blood. Continued. 3 tries in the game. Thought I could continue over the next few weeks playing after a big night. Hence, career never went too far. Sawtell Steve.
Oh, I think a lot of blokes can relate to that type of story. You know, whether it's even professionalism, well, semi-professional, 30 years ago, because I know a lot of players that did the same.
I bet.
That went out, not expecting to play. They get the call up the next day. They got to play. Coach tells them, boys, I don't want you going out. You think, I've got no chance. I'm going to go out and have a few. And then when they come into the sheds, you know. You actually know that they've been on the drink and you don't say anything.
I smell it.
After the game, they're just like, oh.
Excuse me, sorry. I remember you even saying grand final week. Was it you had Thursday night, was it? Was that your last night?
No, not grand final week.
Oh, okay, right.
No. I think we did have a...
I thought, Mark,
89 we had a drink.
Yeah.
But that was earlier in the week when we came to Sydney before the grand final breakfast. But I think that might have been on a Tuesday. But I don't Early in my career, I'd have a drink on a Thursday night. Mm. You go out and then and play $10 drinks. No. Well, you wouldn't play until Sunday.
Still, yeah. though.
I know, but this is...
Yeah,
this
when,
is,
you,
this
when,
is
you,
when you're 18.
Yeah, yeah. Did you...
Couldn't do it now.
Were you good at... probably not good at... So I feel when I've done it, you know. There's a scent.
Like what do you mean, you know?
Like my partner will say to me, you stink, yeah. like alcohol.
Yeah.
Some people are good at hiding it, though. My eyes, are, you can tell in my eyes.
No, I was never good at hiding it. Never good at hiding it. I can't hide anything.
I remember a couple of times in Hull. Brett Hodgson looked at me and go, just the shake of the head. No, this is just after it. Like, we go after a game.
Yeah.
Come in on the Monday recovery, and he's like, oh.
The old recovery sessions.
Yeah.
We've got Richo on the line. G'day, Richo. How are you?
Hey, boys, how you going?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. What have you got for us?
Just thought I'd share kind of one of the better stories I've heard for a while. It's kind of something you would have heard years and years ago, but only happened in 2020. In the National Hockey League overseas, obviously huge sport, huge gambling, et cetera, et cetera. There was, so basically when two teams play each other, obviously there's a lot of travelling. Carolina were playing the Maple Leafs, and Carolina would bring a goalkeeper, then a reserve goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. But what the travelling teams never do is have a third emergency goalkeeper. So often the home team will just provide an under-18s kid or whatever. But in the case of the Maple Leafs, they actually put down their Zamboni driver, as in their groundsman, during the week. He as the emergency goalkeeper. Anyway, as luck would have it, the goalkeeper gets injured in the first. In the warm up, and obviously the reserve bloke goes in. This guy's 42 years old, having a beer with his wife, watching the game with a Maple Leafs shirt on. He gets dragged down, has to sign a one-game contract with the National League at 42 years of age, doesn't play anymore. 5 minutes into the game, the second goalkeeper goes down. He ends up playing for the Carolina side with a Maple Leaf shirt underneath it and misses his first couple, then keeps a clean sheet. They win, and he has one game for his whole life at 42 years
of age. Wow, I've never heard that story before. Now, I'm assuming that's true.
Mate, a great story, and you can YouTube it.
Yeah, I've
just looked it happened in 2020. It's the kind of stuff that you wouldn't hear these days, but it happened.
Yeah, I've just looked it up. His name was David Ayres.
David Ayres.
Wow. Yeah, 2020. This is in the NHL. 42-year-old.
Wow.
Oldest goalie in NHL history to win his regular season debut.
Yep.
There you go.
Just out of the crowd, great story. Had a beer. You're in, son. Away you go.
Great story. Yeah, he had to kind of sign a one-game contract.
Mate, they'll make a movie out of that.
Yeah, it's kind of the kind of thing. I obviously went down the rabbit hole and looked into it. He played a bit of amateur league and mucked around a bit, but he never obviously was going to make it, and obviously just drove the thing that cleans the ice, the Zamboni thing.
Outstanding. Hey, Richo, thanks for sharing that with us, mate. That's great.
No worries, boys.
Good on you, Richard. Thanks, mate.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome in the NRL? All those blokes that say, mate, I could play.
Yeah.
Big boy. Row 36.
Come down.
You got to carry out Fisher Harris.
Off the kickoff.
Yeah. Okay, on the text line, do yourselves a favour. Watch American Underdog, the true story of Kurt Warner, who NFL great, mm-hmm. of course. Outstanding men, says Sully from WA. Some more random musings on the text line. The Starlight Room at Canterbury Leaves Club. It was great, says Rooster Bob.
Starlight Room. Okay. I'll ask Mum.
Right. They're seriously having a reunion for the old Canterbury Leaves Club nightclub.
Anyone can go?
Anyone can go. Young
or
and
VIP
old.
Members. You have to be VIP.
I should be able to get us a couple of tickets, I reckon.
Well, I don't want to go. I just want to know. What have they done up there, as in used it for?
Oh, it's all changed now. It's huge now. Canterbury League is amazing now.
Right.
You can have weddings and everything there. Host 300 people, and it's big auditoriums.
Yeah, right, yeah.
They've done
where the big auditorium, that's still there.
That's still there.
But they use it for wedding venues.
Sort of cut it up in a few different ways, and the rooms, there's some cool rooms in there now, and we have all events there for the dogs.
I should probably know this. Did teams they still go back to league slubs and that after games mm-hmm. and have beers. And
the boys, the definitely when they're at Belmore, because it's right there,
yep.
up the road, home games.
Yep. But if you're at a, like a course.
No, not after a call. They might do it once or twice in the year, but.
So what happens there after a game?
Just go home. Yeah,
well, yeah, right.
Just boys, you hang around the sheds for a little bit. Yeah. But
it's, that was the one thing you enjoyed about playing, wasn't it? You know, the fact that you'd have a few beers in the sheds and then go back to the league slot. But that, yeah, I just didn't know whether that happened anymore.
The boys aren't, a lot of the, I find the younger boys, they're not fussed about having a beer after the game.
Mm.
They just sort of, bit of music, get a feed, have a shower, and then they're out with their families. And yeah, whereas there's a few that'll stay in there.
Netflix and chill.
That's actually what it is. I'm spewing, I can only have two and have to drive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, it is a little bit different. But
And it's a business now, so I understand it. But yeah, no, I loved. There was nothing better than winning. Like if you had a win, and then you'd sit in the sheds and sing the song, and just sitting there having a beer like with your mates, it just felt
that's
good.
The best part about playing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so if
and then you'd be bagging
come...
blokes like Grub going, what about that?
What's wrong with him?
I was going to give it to him.
Gee, Canterbury Leagues being big competition with Le Montage, would it? They're at Leichhardt.
Different areas,
did you used
mate.
To go?
Why are you comparing Tigers and Bulldogs?
Well, just because you're here.
No, Canterbury Leagues forever, mate.
The factor says the Chinese at Canterbury Leagues.
I always heard about the Chinese.
Dynasty, is it? Or Dynasty? Outstanding. Took the fam there for lunch before the Dogs beat the Titans at Belmore, says the factor.
That's it. Lasers.
Lasers nightclub,
yes,
Josh.
Yes, that's the one. It's not funny, but... So Sian, my partner, and I were G'ing my mum up about it, and yeah, sort of said, "Oh, Dad's thinking of going." And look, I won't, Mum. They're not on the greatest of terms, so she was like, "Yeah, right. Think he'd own the joint like he used to." Yeah. I wonder how the reunion will go.
Another yarn here. Hi, boys. I played with a guy in grade rugby for Hamilton, and we played up at Nelson Bay. He played third grade at the end of the game. He was asked to stand by for reserve grade. 10 minutes into the game, the front rower goes down, so on he goes. He goes for a shower after the game. He didn't even get to turn the water on. The first grade coach comes in as the first grade prop had got carried off after 5 minutes, so on he goes for his third game. After the game, they ask him if he was going back to the pub, and he says... No, I've got to ride home. Everyone thought he was riding a motorbike. No, he had a 40-mile push bike ride.
What?
Alleged. Johnny Williams, apparently, says yes. Bowie from Newey, sending that one in.
Well, he'd be buggered the next day.
Wouldn't he?
I hope he got home all right.
Where'd he live? Anyway, somewhere 40 miles from Nelson Bay. Robbo, morning to you, mate. How are you?
Good, boys. How are we? All good at home?
Going well, Robbo. Yourself?
Yeah, hanging in there. I'm just on call-ups. I played President Cup years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And for years after that, I used to go to the Leeds Club when the Seagulls were playing at home. You know, over half a dozen students would stand on the hill. But I'm still waiting for a call-up.
When did you realise you were never going to get it?
When I got back to the club.
No, they were good old days, Robert. Good days.
Oh, mate, after the game, when we were playing locals, it was just... You'd get the other team sometimes in the dressing chairs to have a few beers, but then we'd have something organised. Was particularly good. It was really good.
Yeah, no, so, exactly right.
Can I get on the referee business?
Go ahead.
Blake stole my thunder a bit before 8 o'clock, and he's 100% right. When we were kids and even when you were playing as a junior, Laurie, the only person with respect to the referee was the captain. And that's what should happen these days. You watch a referee blows a penalty for some reason, and I would say there's three, sometimes four players throwing their arms there and all yelling and screaming, and look, oh, what about this referee? No, back off. The captain can go up and say, why was that, sir? And the others just back off. And if they persist, 10 minutes in the bin, this is the only way you're going to get control and a little bit of respect around. I utterly agree with, well, totally agree, sorry, with Annesley on respect for referees. However, on their side of the fence, we are fed up with the howlers from the bunker and not been able to criticise it. Now, prime example, did you think that was a try that Selezniak scored?
Most definitely I did.
But no explanation. Yeah. Go on, sorry mate.
No. He was going to score that. No one in the world he wouldn't have scored that.
That's right. Now, they go down the other end of the field in the second half, and it's what I said to you guys 2 weeks ago. Jackson Hastings goes and wraps his arm around a player, then realises Zalesniak's going to score in a corner, then throws his arms in the air as if to say, oh, you know, it was a bad read of defence. No try. He was never going to tackle him. And you know, no try to the Warriors. The Knights deserve to win. Don't get me wrong that way. But there's another howler. And that's what I said two or three weeks ago. Teams now, if the blokes looks like running, you know, into the corner and the blokes within 20 metres, they'll just run into the nearest opposition player and throw their arms off. Oh, I was, you know, he took me out of play, sir.
Yeah, but they know how
now
to do
these,
it.
Yeah, these are the things that people get upset with, and that's why they criticise referees, and it's going to continue until we get some clarity around these rules and some common sense in there. You know, this is just BS, a lot of these penalties. As you just said, there was a try for all money in the corner. And, you know, we don't award tries for that, is what Butler said. Well, what do you award tries for?
Yeah, the Dallin one was 100% try. Like, if he doesn't tackle him there, he scores easily.
He catches it.
You could see Marzu, like, literally look at his eyes. You could see him just tackle. He's not looking. He couldn't see the ball. The ball's past him. And then he's literally just tackled him, and you're waiting. You're going, yep, penalty try, and then nothing's called. And you're exactly right about the obstruction ones too. You know when the laws, you and me, I reckon we could watch and be like, every single one, he's gone in for that.
You know what the defender's doing.
So there. Why can't the bunkers see that?
Oh, because they're just going on black and white rules, I'd say. You know, I get the outside shoulder, but when you're running at the chest...
And they said chest in the call. They literally said, the bunker said, he was running at his chest. And I was
tell you what, in a tight game, I know what I'm doing as a defender. If I feel threatened at all with what's coming at me, I'm trying to get myself into a situation either to run into him, to position myself tighter, so when I need to check, release, I can run into his shoulder.
Well, that's what halves are doing now.
Yeah, they're getting a bit tighter to the back rower. Yeah, that's exactly
and
right.
And then they sort of entice you to go on that outside shoulder. Yeah. And if you're fast enough to, in that 1 second to go from tight to hit him in the shoulder, you get the penalty.
Yeah, I've noticed that that little adjustment in the defensive system.
Thank you, Robbo. Yeah, that was Neil you're referring to who called earlier as well. And just some texts on the refereeing situation. Morning, gents. Why don't we follow the AFL with regards to our referees? When was the last time you saw an AFL player approach an umpire to question a decision? Just does not happen. Simple solution for our game. Stop questioning decisions. Move away or you're in the bin. Not that hard just set the rules and move on, says Al. Also, my dad was a first-grade ref, Group 7, so was his father and grandfather, also playing for Kiama Knights. There's no way in the world they'd be getting away with tripping, players questioning refs every second play, not the captain, slowing play down, all sin bins. Meanwhile, you put a decent solid hit on a player anywhere near the head and they get hurt, it's bin and suspension, says Mr. Parramatta Pepper from Kiama Gerringong. Good on you, Mr. Parramatta Pepper. Sean, morning to you, mate. How are you?
Thank yourself.
Yeah, really well, thanks. What have you got for us?
Mate, you're talking before about turning up the games where you had a few the night before. But yeah. I was playing like a low-grade cricket. It wasn't anything spectacular. And I went out the night before, and I was still doing it at this stage pretty badly. And I remember getting home at God knows what time, and I had my mum try and wake me up. She successfully done that. Then the captain walked into my room and said, mate, I need a 12 man. I thought, yeah. I said, no, I can't do it, mate. I've got no chance. He said, mate, just come, sleep in the car, you'll be right, no drama. Just going to make it official on the paperwork, right? After 3 hours in the game, our captain does a hamstring and a keeper also does the same thing. Mate, I had the field in 40-degree heat and I was, it wasn't pretty. I sort of slipped all day. Mate, I lost count as I up and under. It was just unbelievable. So,
I can imagine in the hoop, if you're
it was so bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
The 12th man, right? So you just feel it the whole day.
Just feel the whole day, mate. You didn't have to go to bat, mate. Just feel it all day and pour during heat. And that's score 400 a day, so it's even worse.
Just see, I know blokes. I would have had captains that would have just gone, let's just send him fine leg to fine leg for our entertainment.
Yeah.
Just to watch
just
him.
Just get him to run. He would have walked.
Just get him to run between overs. Anyway, we're back, I think, I hope. No, we are. Yeah, and thanks for pointing out, yes, the Met Gala's in New York, not LA. Yeah, yeah.
Some LA thing.
What is it, by the way?
I got no idea what it is. You don't seem to know a bit about it. Some LA thing.
I'd have guessed.
It's in New York.
Anyway. Dave Stanley, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Middo. Morning, listeners. Big show lined up today on Racing HQ. I know we've got Steve Hewlett not too far away there in Queensland, but I'm going to chat with a lady called Jane Hosking. Now, you would have seen in the News Limited papers this morning and also on RaceNet and the Daily Telegraph website, the trailer for this feature film on Winx. And Jane is the producer of this particular feature film. I'm going to chat with her this morning. How did this all come about? Because it's like anything. We obviously are in the bubble of racing and the bubble of our different sports. So when these type of things happen, and there's going to be a lot of people probably watching this film that maybe aren't into racing and might not know her story, it'll be good. So we'll find out more about it. That's going to be my first guest this morning.
Yeah, I asked Dave this question this morning. And I'm going to ask you, because I know you love a punt. Would you have ever backed against Winx at some point? Like early on, like
yeah, I think I did. Yeah. I think I actually did. I backed her in a race. What was that good mare of John Thompson's, Middo? First seal.
Well, that's before she was.
I'm saying when she was winning, like you know, at some stage, because you're not thinking that she's probably going to win that many.
To be honest, not later on.
No, I'm not talking about later on.
She was
no
in
one
that
did.
Sort
yeah.
of weight for yeah. age,
and no one wanted to see her get beaten either.
When they were 3 year old fillies, first seal beat her every time.
I remember backing her first seal, and then I remember. Well, I think her debut win was at Warwick Farm.
But even even sort of a bit later when she started to get into those good races.
Yeah.
No, I think the second Cox Plate I've backed,
I tell you what,
Bartimos.
I'll tell you what, if you want
which
a funny...
still running.
I don't know if you can still find it on the Race New South Wales website, but when I first started at Sky, Winx was actually... I was doing Tab Audio upstairs, which is the audio that goes out to all the pubs and clubs.
And look at you now.
Yeah, and... they must have blindfolds in this joint. Anyway... I used to work closely with Tony Brassel and do Sky One with Marto and Brass. And Brass loved going through all the trials. Go back, if you can, and look at a Rose Hill trial before Winx ever had a race start. Jimmy Cassidy rode her. One of the best you've ever seen. And I've actually asked Pumper about this at a function I did. Out the back, misses the kick, got the chicken wings going like he's, you know, really getting into it, but he's not. And then he gave her a little tap on the backside to sort of say, righto, well, now... And she sprints up the rail and like it's, you know, I remember Brass talking about it before the start and obviously...
Oh, did he
Brass
pick her
goes,
and say that's...
Brass goes, oh, this has got some ability. Obviously not knowing what was to come. But yeah, always watch those trials. They're always trying to, you know, the bad trial. I think she was $4.20 in her first start at Warwick Farm.
Yeah, right.
But I think Jason Collett actually rode her in her first trial. There you go. I think.
Jim Cassidy did. I've got it here.
Yeah, have a look at it. She's
and
on
then
the rail.
Nash actually rode her in the second trial, and Jason Collett rode her on debut at Warwick Farm.
Because Larry
rode her. Yeah. Did Larry ride her in the? I think Larry rode her in the Sunshine Coast Guineas. There you go.
I think you're right.
And then obviously Huey got on the Oaks, and she's Apples, You Beauty, and then never got off. But
Collett rode her a few times, and you're right. Sunshine Coast Guineas, 16th of May 2015, which is what. Virtually 9 years ago. Yep. Can you believe
it? I couldn't tell you about... I couldn't
Larry
tell you where
Cassidy
I put my
right.
car keys. But I could tell you that. If you can, look at that trial. She's out the back on the fence. And
I've got it here.
And Jimmy just sort of gives her one, as I said, around the backside. And she gets up in behind them. And she trials really, really nicely. She's out the back there with the red cap.
Seems to be some kickback
and,
on that track.
That's obviously
it's a dry day at Warwick Farm,
and you can see she just sort of scoots up and then finds a few backsides, and There was a...
comes up the fence.
Yeah, she's got a bit of a zoom about it. Oh, but wow. Obviously, yeah, yeah, what she was expected to do then later in life, yeah. So anyway, look, we're going to chat with Jane about that because that's coming to the big screen later this year. Richard Callender will join us. We'll try and stir Richard up. I love stirring him up, just, you know, getting him on the bit about something in racing, something that's annoyed him. Dan Lacey from Gosford I'm going to chat with. He's the CEO. We're up there, of course, on Saturday. Angus Villiers. Now, he's a young jockey whose boss is Mitch Beer. He rode a winner in town last Wednesday, and I wanted to chat with Angus because Ron Duffacy made him a jockey to follow. So yesterday in Punters Post, wanted to have horses to follow, but Duff said, I'm going to give you a jockey to follow. He reckons that Gus is one of the best young jockeys he has seen. Ken Ride, Gary Portilli, John O'Shea. That's nice. The lineup today, boys.
Heard you were plucking winners out of the air in Wagga, mate. On fire.
Yeah, thank you, David.
Going well. Big thanks to Richard and Will Friedman at Musselbrook. You never responded, though, Loz, when I was sending those winners.
I know. Well, I was too busy.
Mate, I saw him for 3 minutes on Friday.
Yeah, so you've just brushed the crew.
I had so many people to see.
So you've done a pup. You've just gone to the event, left the crew and gone out the back.
I did not see one race. Look, live.
I've got to get stuck into you here. Punners, if Michael Clark, we all went to a function and Pup went off with some other blokes and left us, he'd be going to us. Can you believe this bloke? We're all here. We're meant to be here as a team. What's going on? So you've done exactly the same.
I have, yeah. Yeah, but
you had plenty of people to please, though.
Yeah,
I remember talking to you. Did you overcommit with the people pleasing?
I do. I share myself around.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. I overcommitted, yeah.
Did you remember everyone's name?
Yeah. I jagged a few.
Close enough.
Close, yeah.
Where did you end up after the races?
Just did the mumble. Yeah,
Where did you end up after the races?
You were back at the Farrell, man.
That was the last place I ended up.
Oh, right, okay.
So it was a bit of a journey around the Riverina.
Yeah, a few joints I went to.
When's the next footy game in Wagga? League game? Are they going to go there and...
Probably.
All right.
It's usually a Raiders game, isn't there?
No, not this year.
Okay.
They usually have it... Well, they usually have it the same day as the Wagga... not the same day as the Wagga Cup, the day after the Wagga Cup.
On the Saturday.
On the Saturday.
All right.
They didn't have it this year.
Ring Daryl. He'll sort it. See you, boys.
See you, mate.
Joshy, thank you.
Thank you, mate.